This is the Bible for Today Greek class, the second year Greek class of the Baptist Bible Seminary, Baptist Bible Institute, sponsored by the Bible for Today of 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. The date is April the 14th, 1983. This is the 10th lesson of the second semester, John 16:26 through 17:22. Dana and Maddie, page 252 to 261, paragraphs 223 to 231. And we're in the second year of this Greek class. It's a four-hour course. We're in the last two semester hours. The teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Let's begin then with a word of prayer as we open our class tonight. Dear Lord, we thank Thee again for the privilege of learning and studying. And we thank Thee especially as we look into Thy Word tonight in the chapter 16 and 17 that is before us and see the prayer of our Savior to His Father. Help us to understand what He said and how He said it, what He meant by it, and be with these students, Lord, as they have come to learn and to study and to understand what Thy Word is all about. So help us and guide us in our family relationships and everything that we do. Help us to glorify Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, we have John 16, and it's verses 26 to 17, 22. Is this the long one or the short one, 26 here? Let's see, 16, 26. That looks like about medium. Well, Ruth, let's see. Why don't you start us on the medium way, and then we'll go on. I'll play it once, and you go ahead and repeat if you would, please.
John 16, 26. Enekene te hemera ento onamati mu aitesesne. Kai u lego himin hoti ego eroteso ton patera peri humon. John.
All right.
In ekene de hemera, and so onamatimu.
Mm-hmm. Onamatimu,
Taste kai ulego, humin, hoti, ego, eroteso, ton patera, peri, humon. In that day, you shall ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father concerning you.
All right. That's 16:26. And Lalika, let's see, Aites, there, rather? Just wondering?
That's the future.
Future of Aiteo is the future middle indicative. You shall ask for yourselves, is more or less the middle type idea, isn't it? And then eroteso is what?
That's also the future.
Also future, I will see. And who are they going to ask this of? It's going to be in His name, and who will they be asking it of?
God, I presume.
That's right, God the Father. And
that day.
Is there any? Probably after He leaves, after He ascends to heaven, then He'll be at the Father's right hand. You won't be asking Him directly anything, but ask the Father in His name. Is there any scripture that tells us we should pray to the Holy Spirit? No, I don't think so either. I don't find a single thing. And people do it all the time.
You pray in the Spirit.
Yeah, in the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit, but right to the Holy Spirit. Del Faisenfeld did that constantly in this Life Action Ministries. That was one thing that I noticed. And this morning, as I was taking Dan to Baptist High School, there was a song, prayer directed right to the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Well, no, this was just a different kind of a new modern type of thing. It was on Wilbur Nelson's program. It was a little different. But it, come and fill us and use it, you know, come to us, praying to the Holy Spirit to come in. Now, that's a terrible, you know, it's bad enough that we get this concept of the Lord Jesus Christ coming
you
into
us.
Fill
us with your love.
Well, no, there's a different, there's the newfangled one. See, I know the one you were speaking of. See, come Holy Spirit, come Heavenly Dove, you know. So
now, that's not the old hymn I'm talking about. Sweet Holy Spirit.
Oh, is that what it's called? Sweet?
It's kind of a
maybe so. Yeah, a little popular to me.
Mm-hmm.
A little ditty. Well, maybe that is the one.
It's
but that particular one I hadn't heard. You know, there it was, and I said to Dan, I said, boy, that is so wrong. I mean, people are getting away. But here, to the Father, what are we to do in the presence of false teachings like this? We've got to protest, as far as I'm concerned. We cannot go along with that thing. That's part of the charismatic group now. They do pray right to the Holy Spirit because they stress the Holy Spirit more than the Father and more than the Son. I mean, this is their emphasis. All right, Bill, go ahead with 27, please.
John 16:27. autos gar hopater phile himas, hoti humes eme pepthelekate, kai pepthelkate, hoti ego para tu theou, ex telephon, John.
Autos gar hopater phile humas, hoti humes eme.
Pephilekate.
Kai pepistelkate. Hati ego para tu theou exelthon.
Alright.
For the Father himself loves us.
Humas. Yes, I guess it is us. No, no, not us. That's Hemas. Humas, yeah. I thought that's you, see.
Okay.
Hemas is us, and Humas is us, or you, right?
Because we...
Not we again. See, Hemas, Hemas is we, but Humas is you.
Ye.
Or ye, huh? Ye, or you plural.
Because he... what's Pephilekata?
From Phileo.
Oh, to love also.
Let's see. Let me see here. Let me see. 27. Yes, Phileo, right. That's perfect. See, from Phileo. Pephilekata.
Okay. Because ye have loved me. And ye have believed me because I go to the Father, go out to the Father, or go to the Father.
All right, I leave to the Father. See, I came out from God. Actually, it's come out from the Father. See,
okay.
I came forth. You see, exhale. I came out from Pada, from the side of God. See, from God. You believe that I came out from God. All right. We've said Pephilekate. Pephilekate, rather, is the perfect of Phileo, and the same with Pepistokate. Kappa there gives it away with the perfect, and of course the reduplication as well. And then exhalethon is what, Bill?
Aorist.
Aorist of exhalethon. All right, any other comments or questions there on 27?
Yeah, I remember something in regard of praying to the Holy Spirit. It's a song, Holy Spirit come upon us. The choir, they were singing beautiful melody.
Yes. Yes.
And also, I know, I think you heard of him, Rex Ambar.
Yes.
He is not a charismatic, but he prays to the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes. Well, he's Ambar. He believes in a lot of different things that the charismatics do believe. And I don't know how you classify him. I guess...
Well, he is not a charismatic in speaking in tongues.
He's not speaking in tongues?
No.
But he's along that line, is he not? It's sort of Nazarene, is that his background? Or
no. He doesn't say what denomination he is.
I think that he would blend in quite well with the charismatics. He may not be one, but I mean, I think he's along that general overall, being Arminian as far as believing you lose your salvation and things like that.
He is not to lose the salvation.
I think you find
not Rex.
He may not say that, but
I have him preaching.
Yeah,
he's preaching that we cannot lose the salvation.
What about the healing?
Yeah, he prays for healing.
Yeah, I mean he's kind of healing in that area. I see that they go together. The healing, the various gifts. You see, that's what charisma means. But
he is Swiss, from Swiss.
Yeah.
So So well, I would say they have their kind of...
Lots of people are doing that, and just because it's done doesn't make it right, does it? And doesn't make it scriptural, and we've got to be on our guard and alert.
Well, I don't say that it's wrong to pray for if somebody is sick.
Oh, no, I'm saying pray to the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm saying.
No.
We ask the Lord for a lot of requests. Not that we're going to be faith healers. That's not scriptural for this age, but we can pray to, he says, take our needs to him of any kind. That's correct.
Well, he is using that verse. If somebody is sick, to call the elders of the church.
Yes.
So we are calling our elders to come forward with us to the altar to pray for the sick.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you see, you get into the healing ministries like some of these others. The man that turned Methodist, for example.
He is not to lay the hands.
Oral Roberts, he's very much.
Yeah, that is something else. Yeah.
All right.
Oral Roberts, as I say, he has many things.
Right.
Worse than worse.
Yes, he does. All right, any other comments on 27 before we move on to 28 then? All right, let's take 28 then.
On 16:28. Exelthon para tu patros, kai elelitha eston kosmon. Parin aviemi.
All right.
I came out from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and I proceed toward the Father.
Okay. And Eleutha is my root?
Perfect
of Erechamai and Afiemi?
Present
of Afiemi and Porewamai, the same. All right, so he's going back to the Father. He came from the Father, he's going back to the Father. Any other comments on 28? All right, Bill, 29, please.
John 16:29. Legusin auto hoi matetai auto ide nun parisia lales kai poraimian udemian leges. John?
His disciples said to him, what's it?
Behold, look.
Okay. Look now. You're speaking a parable.
Parousia is the opposite of parable, see. That's probably. Plainly.
Okay.
Parousia is plainly, clearly, boldly.
Okay. You are speaking boldly and saying, not a,
you're not proverb. Saying any proverb, huh? Or parable. All right. Bold speaking and not a parable, as he had said before that they were doing. Like you've seen, of course, present Lego. We had the imperative of horao, to see. It's this aorist imperative. Lales is present in Lalewa, and Leges is present also in the. Any other comments on 29, the simplicity of his speech, not a parable? He's telling them exactly he came from the Father, he's going back to the Father. All right, if not, Ruth, take 20 or 30.
16:30. Nun oidaben, hoti oidas panta, kai u chayan eches hinates se erota, en tuto pistewamen, hoti apotheu.
Excel this. All right.
Now we know that you know all and do not have need that anyone should ask you. Is that right?
Should ask you. That's right.
In this we believe that you came out from God.
Okay.
In this or because of this?
In this and through this,
it's
by means of this?
Sort of like... Because of?
Yes, by means of this or through this, by the it amounts to because of this. In other words, by means of this, and see through this. Therefore, it's indirectly because of this. It's your logical reasoning comes by means of this. Huh? That's right. We believe that you came forth from God. All right, that's verse 30. Oida men, of course, is perfect. Oida, does the same, and eches and ero. Ta is what they're better ta. All right, same form for indicative or subjunctive. And why would we think this would be one or the other here in this verse?
Hina.
All right, the hina, all right, that ask you or ask thee. The stella man is present. Stella ex elthes is what we're near the end then. Aristo Dectarima. Okay, any other question or comment on that one? Okay, we believe that you came forth from God. All the times of the coming forth from God and God sending the Son, that's amazing, isn't it, John? I wonder what it would come up to if we added them all up in our concordance.
Well, why should they believe it now? Because now...
Pardon me, Ruth, where were we? Right in the middle of something there?
By the way, since they talk about the copy, Ruth, you said that to make a copy for Bill.
Yes.
Will you give him or you gave me all?
Yes, I gave one to Bill and I gave you two. Yours and another one.
Very well.
Okay, you were saying...
I don't know if I say thank you, I'm saying...
No, you didn't say thank you yet.
Well, let's see. All right. I'm a man with too many
things. I forgive you, George. Now, very well. Why do they believe now, Dr. Wade? It says, behold, now we believe that you know all and have not need that anyone should ask you.
Yes.
So he had done something spectacular, said something out of the ordinary, but he said the same thing he said before, really.
That's true, but they seem to think it was more clear this time than it was before. It's clearly, you know, he said clearly this thing. And it's not speaking parables, see. Before, oh, yeah, I see these lines, these rolls. That's what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it's lax. It needs more. It needs black powder. See, more black powder, which I can put in there. I knew we were getting down low. I didn't know it was that low. So this is probably what they mean. See, because now that you speak clearly, that you came from the Father, going to the Father, and that's where you're going. See, they didn't know what he meant when he said, I'm going to the Father. See, or I go away in a little while. See, now we believe. But did they really believe? That's the question of the next verse. Bill, is it your turn? Go ahead with the next one.
John 16:31. Arti pistewete. John.
All right. It's a short one.
Jesus answered them. Do you now believe?
Yes. Do you now believe? Pistewete. Present tense, of course. Apokrithe aorist, isn't it, about Krinoa? The comments question on that. He was asking the question and implied that they didn't really believe. Ruth, take 32, that'll follow up on that.
On 16:32. Edu. Erkatai hora kai noon and leluthen hena scorpespete hekatos esta idia kai eme monon afete kai uk emi monos hoti hopater metemu esti.
All right.
Behold, the hour is coming, and now hath come that each will be scattered into his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And will leave me alone, and I'm not alone because the Father is with me.
All right. So they're going to be scattered. They're not going to stay close to him. Edu is what, Ruth?
Edu.
The very first part of it.
Oh, that's behold.
Behold, that's right. Imperative second aorist of Adon. Hora wops my Adon. And Erkathai, of course, is the present. Leluthen is what they're.
Perfect.
Perfect. Very common. Scorpus theta is a beautiful part of speech. What is that?
That is passive. Must be future passive, isn't it?
Well, it is aorist passive, but looks like it could be future passive the way it's translated. But scorpizo, you see. Scorpizo.
And
scorpus theta.
Theta
see, that's
would make it.
Aorist passive, yeah. But then the sigma in there, usually, the sigma theta eta usually is future. But see, scorpizo, the zeta, and the sigma, it blends in. See, so that changes, that's just part of the root. But really, it's like a scorpis theta. It's that you might be scattered. See the aorist, it's a subjunctive. Of course, the future has no subjunctive. See? That's why we know it couldn't be the future. It had no subjunctive.
But it's also passive. Right?
Yeah, aorist passive. Huh? That you might be scattered. See? Aorist passive.
that each might be scattered, huh? Each one to his own things, and I suppose means his own activities, his own affairs, whatever the neuter plural idea would be there. And then aphete would be what we would finally.
That would have to also be subjunctive.
All right. That would be subjunctive. Aphete would be aorist subjunctive of apime, wouldn't it?
That's aorist, Dr.
Ray? That's the aorist, huh?
Not aphete. Any, sigma
or anything? No, there's no sigma, there's nothing except the eame, you see, the ada. It sort of augments, sort of a temporal augment, aphete, aphime. All right, any other comments, questions on that? See, they're liars. They're like Peter. They say, oh, they'll all deny, yet I will stay by. I will die for thee, see? And they don't, see? The Lord, with his insight, his knowledge, his foreknowledge, his omnipresence, and his omniscience, all of the things working together, he knew better. Any other comments, questions on that? All right, 33 then, please.
No? John 16:33. Tauta la lalika himin hena enemoi eirenein ekete ento cosmo flipsin hexete ala parsete ego nenekeka ton cosmo.
All right.
These things I have spoken to you. Because in me ye have is that peace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Irene is very peaceful.
Okay. In the world you have tribulation.
You will have exit, that would be
okay. Okay. You will have tribulation.
Well, actually yes, I think that is the future, is it not? Hexata. I think it is from hex. So that future is that rough breathing indicates the future of that echo. Let's check it and see if you're sure. Do you recall, Ruth, what that
Second person plural future of echo.
Okay, second person plural future. Yes, hexata is the future of echo. So you will have. Go ahead, Bill.
Tribulation.
Uh-huh.
But
Tarseta. Mm-hmm. Of Tarseto, to be of good cheer, to be encouraged.
But be of good cheer. I assume it's have overcome the world.
That's right. Nikao is your verb, and nenekika is what form, Bill.
Would be the
with the kappa on the perfect. End and the reduplication, the perfect. All right, I have overcome the world. Beautiful. Nenekeka. Nike, of course, comes from Nikao, doesn't it? The conqueror. Tharseta is the present of Tharseto, and Lalika, I have spoken, is perfect of Lalao. Any other comments or questions on this? In the world, tribulation, in me, peace. Peace in the midst of a lot of trouble. That's a great promise, isn't it? All right. Any other comments at all? Now? Now let's go on to chapter 17 and take these next 22 verses. Ruth, take verse 1, please.
The Gospel of John, chapter 17. John 17:1. Tauta elalisen ho Jesus kai epeire tus ophthalmus autu eston uranon kai epe pater Eleuthen he hora, doxa son su ton huion, henakai ha huios su doxase se.
All right. It's a nice long one for you.
Jesus said these things, or after Jesus said these things, I suppose you could say that, couldn't you?
Yes, let's see.
Could you, is that Eris, L.A.?
Lalisa, yeah, from Lala. Oh, yes, it is Eris, but it's just... if it were a participle, you could say after. That's the only thing. This probably said he said these things. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Or said these things. Tauta is these things.
Yeah, these things, plural. Huh?
And lifted his eye into heaven, unto heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son in order that your Son also should glorify you.
Okay, very good. Mutual glorification, Father to Son, Son to the Father. And Lalisen is what then, Ruth?
That's the
Eris Laleo, and Et Paras.
Mm-hmm.
That's what?
Aorist,
and Apen, of course, is Aorist Lego. Lelutha is perfect. Is an American one. Duxason, what is that, Ruth?
I think that's imperative.
It says imperative, Aorist imperative, Duxadzo, Duxadzo, Duxason. Mm-hmm. The one, Duxase is what?
Subjunctive.
Subjunctive. Aorist subjunctive, Duxadzo, right. Any other comment or question on this? To glorify me that I may glorify you. So mutual sharing of glory between the Father and the Son. All right, there's no comment or question on that. Bill, take number two, please.
John 17:2. Kathos edokas auto exousian tases sarkos. Henapan hodedokas auto dose autois zoein aionion.
This is the high priestly prayer of the Lord, isn't it? It's his own personal prayer. This is really the Lord's prayer. And another, they call the Lord's prayer the disciples' prayer. Mm-hmm. But this is the full chapter on the prayer to the Father. All right, Bells, go ahead.
It's couples, is that like alo
yes, according as or just okay. As. The according as.
Just as. He.
And of course, with a sigma, the thou, that's the second person
okay,
sigma.
Okay, thou has given to them,
to him, to him, yeah, to him told. Mm-hmm.
Power. Something about flesh, is that like it's all
the,
flesh?
The genitive of all flesh, power of all flesh, or in the sense of power over all flesh, the power okay. Of all flesh, over all flesh.
In order that all giving
ha dedokas, ha dedokas, all that which has been given.
Okay.
From dido means dedokas.
Given him.
Mm-hmm. All that you actually dedokas really is not a participle, it's a finite form. All that you gave really, that's perfect. You have given. All that thou hast given him.
Yeah.
See? That everyone that thou hast given him, all thou hast given him.
You said shall give?
Don't say those. See, that would be your third singular. He might give. See, henna after be subjunctive. He might give.
Okay. He might give them eternal life.
Okay. And we've taken, what would be edokas, Bill? Edokas.
Okay.
From didomi, edokas.
Aorist?
Aorist is right, and dedokas would be what? Same form, same verb, didomi.
That would be a perfect.
Perfect, dedokas. And dose, what?
Was just present.
Well, that would be the aorist. The present would be didose. Didose. If you have the same stem as didomi, but the dose, it's a shortened stem, therefore be aorist on that. Now, the question was raised here, the hyper-Calvinists, quote-unquote, those who believe in limited atonement and all, believe that only those that the Father has given to the Son will he give eternal life to. In other words, it seems to be stated here, does it not? Those that thou hast given to him, he might give to them eternal life. And so they say it's the election process that makes this case. Why is it not also possible that everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father has given to the Son, and only those who believe on Christ. And therefore, as many as thou hast given to him, he may give them eternal life. In other words,
what is it they believe?
They believe, of course, that it's only by election, and just those certain few that God has given to the Son by election, way before, so nobody has anything over to do with it. See, that's what they would teach on the day when this would be strong. Well, I want hyper-Calvinist. I say that just to positionalize a strong five-point Calvinist haven, this particular verse. But my question is, as I listen to it over and over, as I play it back and forth, going to school in the car, the Greek and English, I think, well, how is it not also possible that those that the Father has given to the Son are in a package, and that package is labeled, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Father says, I'm going to give you some people that are going to be believers, and all that I give to you, you're going to give eternal life to. And here's how we're going to make the decision. See, it's those who are trusting you as your Savior. That's what I'm going to give to you, and you give eternal life to them. See, I mean, there's always ways of getting around seeming things that would box people in on the matter. See, I thought of that. All right, any other comments or questions on two? But that life that He gives is eternal. There's no getting around that. It's not just until we sin or some other thing. If we have eternal life, if we're partakers of the divine nature, we never lose that nature, do we? All right, we may lose the fellowship, but we never lose the nature. We never lose the new birth. We're always born of God if we're sincerely regenerated.
A question. Like last week, we were talking about the old nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking this week, the Lord said that He died so that we should not have to serve sin in Romans.
Mm-hmm. Romans 6.
And yet, it says the old man is
I remember crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yet the old man does not pass away.
That's right.
So it's always with us.
Mm-hmm.
And
but positionally, it's been judged at the cross. It's been rendered ineffective if we wish to rely upon the power of the Spirit of God that's in us. And so on. And therefore, because it has been judged, sin, the nature at the cross, as well as Christ dying for sins, the fruit of that sinful nature at the cross, that's the only basis on which the Holy Spirit can come into this body of ours and dwell and indwell the believers, because the sin nature has been judged and therefore reckoned a fit abiding place for the Spirit of God. Otherwise, how could the Holy Spirit come into wicked sinners such as we and dwell and thrive? We discussed this, by the way, on our Tuesday evening home Bible study class, right in the living room, just 2 days ago. And at length, we were talking about 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure foundation, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Let everyone the name of the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And we got into this whole idea of how sure ours is the sure foundation. Can we lose our salvation? We got into this area of the old nature and the new nature. The question was asked, how many groups think you can eradicate the old nature? And we mentioned them, you know, like the Wesleyan Methodists and the Free Methodists. And these are the types of the holiness, various holiness groups, Pentecostal holiness, different ones. Many branches of those believe that they can eradicate and get so holy after a while that this old nature just leaves. But as we mentioned, ask their spouse, and then they will give a different picture, see whether or not that old nature is really gone or they're just dead.
But we're to reckon it as dead.
That's right. Reckon ye dead, and you reckon yourselves indeed dead unto sin, the nature of sin, but alive unto God. But it's still, that's where Galatians 5 comes in, 5:16. The flesh, marvelous, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other, and you cannot do the things that you would, the things that you want to do. See, so there's the battle. As long as, and then the fruit work of the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, murder, and so on, licentiousness, lasciviousness, so on, all these things. And the thing about it is, as long as we have flesh, and that will be until our bodies are changed by the rapture, or changed after we are laid away in the tomb, and we get new bodies still in the rapture, and the corruptible becomes incorruption instead of mortal becomes immortality. Only when that takes place will that flesh be gone. And if indeed you have a flesh lusting against the Spirit of God, and it's in the Scriptures, then you have these two natures, and you're not going to change them by that. See? And the Lord even said that to Nicodemus, didn't He? He said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So these two natures are even taught right there in John 3, aren't they? And the Lord said, you can't change that flesh. It's going to be there with you forever. You can regain the power over it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we talked about, as Pastor Payton preached Sunday evening a couple weeks ago, he said, it's not that Christians become sinless, but they do sin less once they're Christians and saved. See, they should. And if they don't, they wonder whether they're saved. Eyebrow?
Show them to me.
That's the thing. We should preface it by saying those that are in the Word of God and those that are abiding by the Scriptures and go along with the Word of God, that love them and so on, should sin less.
Should is the key.
I guess you ought to say should sin less. Because you want to be seen. You're from Missouri. Well, I you have a right to
it's
be.
It's a mighty hard struggle. Isn't
yes, it is.
And the longer yes, you're a Christian and the more you get into the Bible, the harder the struggle is.
Well, Satan wants to attack you more than ever because you've got more.
You see more of your own sin
yes,
the more
you
get into the Bible.
That's right, you do, Ruth. And you cry out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and also, as Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord. He had that battle in Romans 7, didn't he? The good that I do, what I want to do, I can't do, so on. Yes, Mr. Harrison, you had
I observed that many preachers, they have been only concerned that they are creating new converts.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, you accept Christ, you have peace of mind and peace in your heart and things like that. But instead to prepare the new convert, it is easy to say, I accept Christ in my heart.
Yes, it is.
No. But after you accept, then comes the hardest thing.
That's right.
To keep
and,
what we have
that's right.
committed.
And first, that's right, 1 John 2:1, John says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. I hope that you don't sin. Mm-hmm. It's possible, is it not, to live without sinning in thought, word, or deed for a minute. For 15 minutes, not for an hour, for a couple hours, maybe for half of a day, part of it, maybe a day. See, in other words, it's possible, see, as the Lord would give you that ability in spirit and thought and word and deed.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes on with that verse.
Yes.
If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so that we have him because John knows better, like Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Show me
one.
That's right.
I know
myself too, Ruth. And the thing is, we had a battle here Tuesday night between this position that I'm taking and you're taking and the position of Mary Felice, is a Roman Catholic lady here. Whether she's born again and saved, we don't know. Sometimes she seems to indicate, other times, you wonder. And my wife, of all people. I made the statement, probably a wrong statement the way I phrased it at first. I said, isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit of God, holy, perfect holiness, would deign to dwell in these miserable, wicked bodies of ours, that houses the flesh, the evil principle. And my wife said, well, these bodies, they're not so wicked and corrupt, and, are they? I said, well, technically not the body itself. The body is God's creature. It's beautiful. It's fearfully and wonderfully made. What I meant was the flesh that is in that body. See, the fleshly principle and the flesh. And then I quoted Romans 7:18. We looked up in the Bible. I know me, said Paul, that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary and Felicia, they were going, boy, that's a little strong. I don't know about that. I said, that's what God said. Mm-hmm. So we went into other verses, and I took them into Isaiah 64:4.
Mm-hmm.
All our righteousness are as a filthy rag, and filthy rags. And so, they got the picture. And then we went into Romans 3, the open sepulchre. And there's none that, I showed Mary the four Protestant nuns. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that, righteous, and this one of them, 4,000 nuns. I told him about that. In Romans 3, see? But I mean, when time you finish, you're. So she's, that's a little bit clear, but they were fighting this thing, see? But there, Barbara, Panic, and I, we were all of a mind with the scriptures, see? Because Barbara's lived a life of sin. She's been drinking and smoking and carrying on crowds. I mean, that's her background, see? One of the ladies that comes to our class. And I've been in the Marine and Navy, and I mean, I know all about sin too. Not that I lived too much, although I know that I know my Bible, see, and I know myself, and I know we're sinners. God says so, and I believe it, see. But we had a little bit of a battle here Tuesday night over this issue.
I really missed.
Yes, you missed it. Yeah, you would have enjoyed it.
Oh, how would
you
have got
Are you saying that the flesh would be the old sin nature?
Yes, you see, okay. That is inherited from Adam, and never anything good can come out of it, even though, Mary is a nice lady. She's a Roman Catholic lady. She's a widow. She lives in our neighborhood, a couple blocks away, three or four blocks over. And, she's just she just is not prepared to say, because she herself has lived kind of a clean life, I suppose, and a sheltered life, I suppose, up to point. So she's just not willing to say that, you know, if she's as bad as the Lord tells her. But I told her, I said, listen, if we think we're so good, then we don't need Christ. Isn't that right? Yeah. And she did ask the question, what does it mean, propitiation? You know, because the next verse, Christ, our, Jesus Christ, our advocate, and he is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only. 1 John 2:2. And so I told her about satisfaction. See, and he got us satisfied with the sacrifice of his son. Mm-hmm. Not the priest, not the good works, not the mass, nothing. It's the Lord Jesus alone, apart from anything else. So we got a good chance to bring that up. But she's come for many, many years. I think all four years or however many years we've been going. I think it's four, maybe five. I forget. I think it's the fourth year. And so she likes the Bible. She's got her Catholic Bible. She uses her Catholic Bible all the time. And so it's interesting.
I believe she still...
She clings to Rome.
Claims that she still is Catholic.
Yes,
but she's a Catholic, that she believes more.
Yes, I trust that she will. Now, one time, Ruth, we got another lady comes who's a neighbor couple, just a couple doors down here, Ruth Chiron, and she is just as hostile as anything else. She comes. You know, she's an Episcopalian. And she said, oh, you're born again. She's an old lady, you know, but yes, she needs the Lord, see. And how about you people that are born again, and so on. And Mary, she's talking to Mary. Mary said, well, I'm not born again. Ruth said, well, I'm not either, but these other people. So here she said, and I picked up on that the next week. And I said, Mary, I know she said you weren't born again. I thought you'd hear me saying that. And so what I meant was I shouldn't probably say. So she doesn't really know what to say. So pray for her, Mary. Mm. All right, so this is Bill of Two Natures there, as we talked about.
I want to say something about the repeating the sin, or to repeat sinning.
Yes. Sinless, that Mary, that Ruth was wondering to see this thing.
Well, if even John said this, that not to sin, well, otherwise it would be the same game, the same play,
that's
which
right.
The old Jews, they had with the burn offering and the sin offering,
yes,
and forgiveness and
right,
scapegoat and all these things like that, and then again sinning, and again repeat the whole burn offering.
Right, that's true. Now, the question is often raised, Ruth, being a mother as you are, can we be spirit-filled and spirit-led as we're spanking our children, see? I believe that we can. See, this has nothing to do with something that is a sin or wicked. This is correction, as long as our attitude is right and so on. But we have to have enough steam sometimes, especially mothers, to get the job done. In other words, there's certain things. Am I sinning when I speak roughly to my class, trying to teach them in school, for example? And you know, sometimes you have to really, you know, see. No, this is to teach them to respect their proper authorities and to respect their adults, etc. So in other words, there's a lot of things that we do that a lot of Christians say, oh, this is not spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be just as spiritual whether you're sleeping or whether you're eating. There's certain areas, as long as there's not wickedness or sinfulness involved with it.
Well, be angry and sin not.
Be angry and sin not, right.
Yeah,
so,
I wanted to say in Galatians.
Yes, there's certain things that we do as a regular routine. Now, you know, a lot of people, they say, well, you see, you're losing your temper, you're losing your face. You say, well, as long as you have controlled anger, this is all right. But as long as you sin not, that's let not the sun go down upon your head. So there's a lot of these areas that are certainly interesting.
I want to tell you about a friend of mine. Now he is with the Lord. He remained at the age of 35 with five children, from 1.5 to 11. And he did not remarry. He told me many things of his life. When he was disciplining his children, he said, I stroked them, I beat them, but it hurt me. Mm-hmm. And after this, I went in my bedroom, and I knelt to my bed, and I cried bitter tears to the Lord, because I hurt my children, but I want to bring them closer to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, there's
some people that take that to the extreme and say that they think that's sinful and wicked to spank a child in, you know, in the proper way, in the proper manner, in the proper place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. See, it's scriptural to do these various things. See, so there's certain people that think that this is a wicked thing. You see, that's why they're against spanking and against discipline, against a lot of these things. But Scripture says, correct thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. See, and also a son that is undisciplined bringeth his mother to shame, for instance, mm-hmm. and so on. The various other verses of the Proverbs. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on then to chapter 73.
I want to say something about his son, born from a sick mother. He is the best, in fact, two pastors, his children. The youngest, he was left-handed, and he learned to play guitar with the left hand,
mm-hmm.
and trumpet. As he was a poor man, but he made money and to buy to his son a trumpet. He was about 10, 11, 12, something like that. And one evening, when they had to go to the middle week evening service, the son tried to flee, to run away. And he ran after the son and caught him from behind his neck and brought him in the room and put him to the wall and took his hands and crucified him and pushed him to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Not to beat him, but to to
restrain
squeeze him.
Yes.
And
all right,
well. Said, I'm wretched, but I promise before you, Father, and before God, that I shall not do again. I want to be a good Christian.
Yes.
And he kept his promise, and he's a wonderful pastor evangelist.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Missionary evangelist.
That's good. Notice verse 3 answers what we talked about in verse 2, that you may give to them life, eternal life, to those that follow. And then he said, then this is life eternal. All right, who is it? Is it Bill or?
It is I.
Okay, Ruth.
John 17:3. Haute det estin he aionios zoe. Hina genoskosi se ton monon alethenon theon. Kai hon apestelas Jesun Christon.
All right.
But this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Is that
mm-hmm. through me sent. All right. So
this is the high priestly prayer.
Yes, it is. And genoskosin is what, Ruth? There.
That is the present.
Mm-hmm. Present subjunctive, gnosko, and apostelos.
Aorist
of apostel. And this is life eternal. They may know thee. See, this is eternal life. Now, to know thee and Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. So, you give eternal life to the one that the Father has given. This is life eternal, to know the Father and the Son. See, this is eternal life. So, it's opened up for those who trust him and want to know very well. Any other comments or questions on 3? All right, let's go to 4 then, Phil.
John 17:4. Ego se edoxasa epites case to ergon eteleosa ha dedokas moi hena poeso.
All right.
I have glorified you upon the earth.
Say,
I have finished.
Yeah, this is the aorist participle. See, having finished, see, mm-hmm. having completed.
Having finished the work,
I guess the textual difference in it, teleosas is one text. This is eteleosa, which is I finished. Yes, it is. It's the first person singular. The other is sas, and it's having finished. Now this text, you're right, the one we have before us, and I think it's proper one is aorist, third singular. First singular rather. I finished.
What is poieso?
To do. Poieo is to do. See.
To do.
And eteleosa is teleao, to finish.
I see. Complete. Poesia is poem.
Poem, huh? I see. That's similar. All right, go ahead.
I have finished the work. The one having
ta, given
the,
me. Ta goes to the organ, or ergon, which.
Oh, okay.
The work which, or
okay.
The work that.
Which was given me.
Which thou hast given me. Thou gavest me. All right. The second singular there, that for.
In order to do, or that I might do.
All right. That in order to, that thou gavest me, that I might do. That gavest me to do, or that I might do. All right. Doxasa is aorist of doxazo. And we got the verb there, aorist of teleao. And poeso is the aorist subjunctive of poeo. Any questions or comments on this one? I finished the work that you gave me to do. And when he cried out, it is finished in John 19, it is completely finished. But here, at least, he's brought to a conclusion all that the Father wanted him to do while he's on the earth here. He'd selected his disciples. He'd given them commands. He's nearing the end now of the upper room discourse of John 14, 15, 16. Now the high priestly prayer, John 17. He's ready to go to the cross and complete, finally, everything. Any other comments on that? All right, Ruth, take the next one, please.
John 17, 5. Kainun doxason metu pater para sao to te doxe he ehon pro tu ton kosmon enai para soi.
And now, does it say, you glorify me, Father?
Yes, it's a command. It's the second person singular.
Now you glorify me, Father, with yourself the glory, does that say?
Yes.
With the glory of yourself?
Yes, let's see.
Is it describing the kind of glory?
Yes, thine own self.
Glorify your glory, son, that your son will glorify you.
Para, I guess, would be by thyself. Glorify me with the glory, which by yourself. I guess that would be.
Is that describing a kind of glory? It's in the same tense.
Yes, the same case there. Yes, with your own glory. I guess that would be with the glory of yourself, your own self's glory would be, and everything. Let's see what. That's verse 5.
I can glorify you.
Really,
with
thyself.
With thyself?
Yes, that's what the. Look now, the King James Version said, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self.
With thine own self.
With thine own self, with the glory. That's interesting.
Yes,
with thine own self, with the glory. See? So glorify with thyself and with the glory, huh? Which I had. All right?
Which I had.
It's an interesting form, though. It's unusual.
Which I had before the world, which I had with you before the world became.
All right. Okay.
Well, there's a verse that says his glory he will not give to another.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So they're the same glory. That's right. My glory will not give to another.
He left the glory when he came down.
Yes. That's right. Glorify me, Father, with thyself, with the glory. That's interesting. Is it by thyself, for thyself, with thyself? Mm-hmm. It would be a question of para in one of its uses. Let's take a look at the preposition para. If we can find our prepositions, alphabetical list at the back, either by head or by miss, or someone comes up with a page. The prepositions are way back here earlier, aren't they? Page 108, 109, 108, root meaning of para. In composite, it means beside thyself, with thyself, you see. Result meaning with the appellative case from. Now, this is not with the appellative, is it?
No.
With locative by the side of, in the presence of, with or before. With God, before God, in the presence of God. The accusative to the side of, and so on. So this would be with the presence of God. with your own presence, I guess, with the presence of God, the favor with God, before God, and so on. So, wouldn't that be it? That would be the with yourself, in the presence of yourself, with the glory. And, of course, he will be in the Lord's presence. And of course, he's always in the Lord's presence, being both of them being omnipresent, but he will shortly pass as to his body, his perfect body, with into the presence of the Lord. And so that may be the idea there. That was five, wasn't it? I guess we got most of those verbs aren't too bad there. Any other comments? Well, doxason, man. What's that doxason?
Imperative again.
Imperative, right. Doxazo, aorist imperative. All right, Bill, take the next one, please. That's a long one, looks like.
John 17:6.
And by the way, that which I had with the before to be the world. That's interesting, again, before to be. Of course, after the prof, you have the infinitive after that word prof, after the world came into being or was. Bill, verse 6, please.
Ephanerosa su to onoma tois anthropois, whose dedokas moi ectu kosmon, soi eisan, kai emoi autus dedokas. Kai ton logon su teterekasi. Sha.
I manifested your name to men.
And to the men, probably.
To the men.
The article toys.
Those which.
Or just whom? Just plain whom?
Whom?
Yeah.
You gave to me out of the world. What's Aeson?
They were. It's a verb to be from Amy. This is the imperfect Aeson.
Okay. They were yours, and you gave me them?
Them, me.
Mm-hmm.
Or me, them, I guess it's the same thing. As he gave them.
And?
To me. That's what it is. They gave them, direct, accused of the direct object, to me, indirect object, with the data.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, what's the verb, is that tereke?
Terao. Terao is to guard, to keep.
Okay.
To keep.
And I.
Not I, but they.
Okay. And they have kept thy word.
Okay. That's right. They've kept thy word, your word. Epanerosa is the aorist of panerao, eisan imperfect of the saying of Amy, teterekan. Do we have a different form here? Tetereka. See, what is our form here? Six. Teterekasi. Teterekasi, yes. Which would be probably. Oh, I don't know what a perfect or aorist is. It has to be perfect, yes. Perfect because of the duplication of teirao. Teirao, to keep or to guard. All right, now notice, here's what the Father has given to the Son, these 12, these disciples, you see. So that's one of the ones he's given. Okay, so, yes.
I'm interested, how is in Greek language about the Book of Psalms? In this Bible which I am recording, I am now about 130 Psalms, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And already there are four books.
Four books of the Psalms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. In your English King James, we have five books of Psalms, I think it is. That's divided in there.
It's divided.
Yeah. I think there are five
because
books.
Because I remember in Romanian language, too, that they were divided.
Yeah. Now, whether the Greek Septuagint, the Old Testament, has those same books, I'm not certain. I have to check my Septuagint. I'm not sure. All right. Let's see. Anything else on what was that? Seven? Six? Ruth, let's take seven. Notice that they have kept thy word. All except Judas, of course. Well, Judas wasn't there. He's speaking out of the 11 rather than the 12th one there. Kept in that sense of tedao is also guard as well as keep, you know, fulfill, but also guard thy word in addition to the keeping of it. All right, Ruth?
17:7. Nun egnokan hoti panta hosa dedokasmoi parasu estin.
Now they have known that all whatsoever you gave to me, are with you. Is that what that said? Are of you? What is that? I don't know what it
means. Are by you? Are with you? Yes. Are yours? I guess. Parasu. Are on your side. Close to you. Near you. Before you, with you, I guess you could say. They've given to me all that they're with you. I think that would be the...
They have known that all whatsoever you gave me are with you.
Yeah, it says of the, are of the, let's see.
Are of thee?
So that's given me, are of the.
Well, what do you do with the para?
Well, meaning of the para, meaning by or close. We looked that up, there'd be not, and that's the, with the genitive. Oh, wait a minute, we did not. We took the one that was with the dative. We didn't stress the genitive there. That would be 108 again. And with the genitive, it would be what? Beside, let's see, resultant ablative, rather, from, or from thee, with a locative. Let's see here. Beside, they're beside thee, they're with thee. This would be, they're from thee, or of thee, huh?
Of thee is what this. What
yeah.
It says in King James.
Yeah. Right. Of the. I guess they would be of your belief, of your practice, of your theology, of your ideas, and with you. In other words, in that sense, of you.
Okay.
I think that would be it. It's somewhat difficult to grasp English-wise.
Okay.
All right. Agnokan, of course, would be perfect. One of Ginos, the city of. I want to say Gnosko. Yeah, Gnosko. And Dedokas would be what, Ruth?
That would be
perfect. Perfect of Didomi, yeah, because different root. Didomi, Dedokas. Did and Ded. All right, Bill, take 8, please.
On 17:8. Hotita remata ha Dedokas moi Dedoka autois. Kai autoi elavon. Kai egnosan alethos, hoti para su ex eothon, kai epistelsan, hoti su me apestelas. John?
Yeah, I guess it stops there. So, there's para su, there. All right, go ahead.
Because I gave. My word.
Now I gave. See, it's the as, the sigma. This is the second person singular.
Because you gave.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My word.
No. You see, it's ta remata, the words ha, which or that dedokas moi, thou hast given to me. You
okay.
See. Go ahead.
I gave to them.
I gave to them, right.
And they received them.
Mm-hmm. They received and they accepted them. Them understood.
Knew the truth.
Well, this would be alethos with the os ending as the adverb, the ly usually.
Truly.
Truly.
That. Or because
Excelthon.
I came out
from
you.
From you or of you. Here again, Ruth, we are of you. See, from you, by you, by your side, of you.
And believed.
They believed.
They believed.
Son and
that you sent me.
That you sent me. Okay. So that's 8. Dedoka, perfect of Didomi. Elabon is the heiress of Lambano. Egnoson, the heiress of Ginosko. Exelton, the heiress of Erchamai. Apistelson, the heiress of Pistelo. Apestelas, the heiress of Apostol. All right, any questions on that one? They believe that the Lord Jesus was sent forth from the Father. That apostello is a very widely used verb in this entire chapter, isn't it? Sending forth as a missionary. All right, if no other comments or questions, let's go to the next one.
On 17:9, ego peri auton eroto, ou peri tu kosmou eroto, ala peri hon derokasmoi hotisoi esi.
Shalom.
I am asking concerning them. I am not asking concerning the world, but concerning those whom you have given to me, because they are yours.
Mm-hmm. They are yours. They are of you. They are to you. They are yours. All right, that's 9, isn't it? Eroto, the present of Eroto, Dedokas, perfect of Didomi. I think that's it. So he doesn't pray for the world at this point. He prays just for those that have been given to him by the Father. All right, any other comments, questions on 9? All right, Bill, take 10 then, please.
On 17:10, kaita emma panta sa esti, kaita sa emma, kai de doxas mai en autois, John.
All right.
And all, I guess mine, are thine, and.
And see, that's the neuter plural, isn't it? So, could be all my things are thy things. You know, in other words, the matters of possessions, of creation, various things. That's what John 1 says, isn't it? He came unto his own things, and that's the neuter, and his own people, that's the masculine, perceived him not. And maybe the things of his creation, the things that are made, all things, the whole universe, everything. But anyhow, go ahead, Bill. We don't have to say that my things, but it is interesting, and it is in the neuter, which implies many things.
This verse, he came to his own.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that this is the land of Israel, but his own received not, which are the people.
Yes, to his own things. And some feel that his own things, not only the land, but the entire created universe that he's made. Like in verse 3, all things were made by him. About him was not anything that was made. See? So they think that that includes the universe as well as the location. And certainly Israel was one of the things that he'd made, one of the things probably implied there. All right, anything else on that? I better go ahead and finish on that. All mine or my things are thine? Thine are mine?
Thine are mine, or thy things are mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I have glorified.
I am glorified. So here's your passive, see, middle passive form, dedoxasmai, from docheo, I guess.
Glorified in them.
Or doxazo, rather. Doxazo. I am glorified in them, right? So that verse 11, the doxasmai, is a perfect passive, see? See, really, perfect of doxazo, it's really, I have been glorified in them, see? I have been glorified with the passive form of doxazo. All right, any other comments on 10? Now, when he says the my things are thine, thine are mine, he is making himself absolute deity, is he? No question. All throughout this whole thing, talking to his Father on an equal basis and so on. And this is what makes the modernists see blue and purple and all. And also the Jehovah's Witnesses that do not believe in the full deity of Christ. Here he's talking, and I'm sure Westcott and Hort, they wouldn't like this at all. In some of their commentaries, they're denying the deity very clearly. But Well, some think it was still in the upper room. Others think it was on the way to Jerusalem from the upper room, from Bethany, from across down the Kidron Valley, and in the maybe in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before climbing up into Jerusalem.
Let us go forth. Back
yes. Yes, I think so. So, is he bragging what chapter?
The end of chapter 14, he says, arise, let us go forth, or let us go from here.
Yes, that's true.
That was in the upper room, was it not?
Yes, I think you're right on that. So the end of 14, let's go from here. Then he said, I am the vine. And maybe as he was walking then, yes, the upper room discourse 13, 14, but then he may have, as he passed along, gone through the vineyards. And
wasn't it just after this that Judas comes?
Well, of course, Judas is gone here. Judas comes later in chapter 19, yeah. I think. Well, it's pretty close. There's a couple chapters, though, I'm sure. With the lanterns and the people and the chief priests to take him and to kiss him in a hypocritical way. So, I'm not certain as to the location there, but is undoubtedly in some place between where he was in the upper room and
the first part of 18 talks about the Kidron Valley.
First part of 18. Mm-hmm. Kidron, yes it does. And so you see the Kidron Valley, the way we in Jerusalem you kind of see the picture, but Jerusalem is way up here and the Mount of Olives is over here, you see. And the Kidron Valley is right here. And Jesus was on the Mount of Olives type of thing. Huh?
How far is it?
It's only about 2 miles, 3 miles. See, Bethany is on the other slope, the other side of the slope of Mount of Olives. See, and we were right up on the Mount of Olives. That's where we stayed in our hotel. It's Mount of Olives Hilton. I forget what the name of the hotel is. I should remember. But that's where we were, an international hotel or something, on the Mount of Olives. And so we could see out of our window the Kidron Valley, and then there's Jerusalem up here, which is a high elevation. See, Mount of Olives up here, but the Kidron Valley down here. Now, Bethany was over here, and the Lord Jesus went to Bethany many times, you know, to Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and then he went into Jerusalem the next day, and then at night he stayed apparently with them. So it was 2-3 miles down the hill. It was quite a climb, but not too steep. So apparently he was up on the Mount of Olives somewhere, and he went down closer, and there are a lot of vineyards and things. He might have seen chapter 15 with the vines and various things, and he could have stopped. I think there's the garden there of maybe Gethsemane, which is, yes, I think it is, right there on Mount of Olives, and above, you know, not in the Kidron Valley, but above. So he stopped there, maybe right in the, he may have prayed this very prayer, of course, in Gethsemane, actually, where the other synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you know, speak about, watch with me and pray. See, it doesn't say that he prayed this there, but this is certainly could be assumed, because he's on his way to Calvary. And then the Kidron Valley with 18, he's down in the Kidron Valley. See? Mm-hmm. Starts up here, goes here, and then down here, and then he'd go up to Jerusalem, which is a higher elevation, just climb up through the city. And, of course, probably the Eastern Gate, which is the one right directly facing the Mount of Olives. Because the Mount of Olives is east of Jerusalem. So here's the Mount of Olives, and east is right over here. See? Mm-hmm. And beautiful. North is right up there, and the Mount of Olives goes exactly north and south. Perfect. And you see the North Star up there, and you see a pole, a light pole, a flag pole. We saw it at night. Perfect north and south, exactly. North Pole right in there, see. Mm-hmm. And when the Lord Jesus returns, that mountain will go north to south, exactly. And so the valley, east and west, living water will flow out of Jerusalem, out of the new temple, you see. And that thing will be made of plain. It'll be all watered with fresh water, not salt water. But you can see the north-south situation in the east. It's a beautiful picture. And so he went in that eastern gate, and they had hosannas, you know, but down there and up in there as the so-called Palm Sunday. But
I heard that when he entered the Jerusalem, the Palm Sunday, he entered through the so-called now the Golden Gate.
Yes, the Golden Gate is called the Eastern Gate. That is, the Golden is the Eastern. That's right, it's called the Golden Gate. That's
is
right.
This blocked because I
it's blocked, it is blocked.
That the mayor of Jerusalem
yeah. Too many
that
people.
Is blocked until Messiah will return.
Yeah.
They will open that through that golden gate. He will return.
Yeah. Well, that's.
And then I say to the Jews
that's
who told me this. Yeah, but you have been deceived when he came first.
That's right.
And now when The second would be open, the golden gate would be open not to real Christ, but to Antichrist.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. That's right. In the tribulation period, they will believe a lie, will they not? But that is true. It is sealed. At the golden, it is called the golden gate. It is the eastern gate. Mm-hmm. It's the golden gate. And so, it's interesting.
Another question. Is the Mount Calvary outside of Jerusalem? Because I heard that there are two versions.
Yes, there are two versions.
One is outside and other is inside. They have been buildings around.
Well, they've changed the walls so much. And
I've got
to get those slides in shape. I really do. I'm working at this many. We'll invite you all here. So really, I tell you,
nobody's sure about.
As you come out, here's the Jerusalem. Here are the walls like this, you see. Forget the direction, which gate it is, the eastern gate, dung gate, whatever. It's not the eastern, but you come out of the walls here, and you go to the left. That's Gordon's Calvary. That's where, probably more likely that it is, coming out of this particular thing over here. The other one is going over here and turning right, and that is where the Roman Catholics think that it is. And they've got a huge Roman Catholic cathedral over it, or Greek Orthodox, I forget which brand it is. We've been so many different places, but we'll see it when I get the notes.
Now, which has the form of skull? That one should be.
Well, this was the Gordon's Calvary, the form of the skull. See, this was outside.
That should be.
The walls were different. The walls have been changed for so many times, and so it's hard to tell the location, but it is outside. But that place of the skull, but to have the Roman Catholics say this is the place of Calvary, they got the Via Dolorosa and the Way of the Cross, you know, they got all this. This path and all these trinkets and things to sell, and they get this huge place, and it's a strange thing. You can't picture Calvary there at all. It's a big church, and inside you got ornate things, and you have a little place, and it's a strange thing. It really is great, but you go out there to Gordon's Calvary, and you can see this cliff in the shape of a skull, and you can see there's Gethsemane, there's Garden Tomb, right there. You see, it looks all more logical, really does, than the Roman Catholic getup.
Could be seen the.
But right below the bus station, there's a bus station right below Calvary now, and there's a graveyard up on top of Calvary now, and I guess it's just as well, because that graveyard, I think it's a Muslim graveyard, has kept builders from excavating and tearing up that place. So you can see the hill, the big like a skull up there, and then down here is you got a great big bus station. And that, some feel he was crucified up on top of the hill. Others feel he was crucified. That was the background. The crucifixion was down at the bottom of the hill where the bus station presently is. So who knows? And, of course, there's a man that told us that that would really ruin our song on a hill far away, if it were on the bottom of the hill.
Yes.
Perish the thought.
How about the tomb?
So the tomb was there, and it's a carved rock, and it's an expensive
one. I got it again.
It's close by the gorgeous cover. No, but the guy's not sure, no, but... And it's interesting. He goes into great detail. He's got a British accent, goes into great detail. I'm glad I've captured all this on tape, and I have the exact lecture, everything, so I don't have to rely on my memory. But he says that there's a huge cistern on the in water system, see, right there, which a rich man would have a water system. And in the garden is there, and, of course, gardens would have to be where water was. And he goes into great detail, the aqueducts, and as was this the garden. Well, who knows whether it is or whether it isn't, see. But if it's close to the Skull Hill, if the place of the skull or Calvary is the place of the crucifixion.
He was his man.
That's right. And it was this grave that they have, this it was cut out of solid rock, and only a rich person could cut, in those days, have it hammered out, a great big tomb out of solid rock. You imagine how to chip away. Would you like to chip away, grind away? It really is. It's amazing. No blasting powder or nothing.
How they cut the entrance around, because the Bible says that to roll the stone.
Yes.
So now, that means that the stone was
Well, around. Now the rolling, that's right. Now, what he explained, the rolling, they presently have a slot like this on that particular tomb, and the stones, you see, are maybe this wide, 6 inches wide, that are round, and the rolling goes this way, right on this little track. See what I mean? Interesting. Maybe what they did. So they roll it on the track, in front to seal, and they roll the thing back, and there's a little track that stone would work. And the stone is not there, but they have the track that is there, which is the way they used to close the tomb, which is an interesting thing, isn't it? I always thought of a big round boulder. Apparently it's a slice, like a big slice of bologna, and you just roll the edge end for end. All right, with that background historically, whether it's true or not, who knows, but we'll move on then to, what was that, verse 10 or 11 or where were
we? We are in 11.
Okay, whoever it is.
On 17:11, kai uketi emi ento kosmo, kai hutoi ento kosmo esi, kai ego prose echomai, pater hagia, tereson autus, ento onomati su, hus dedokas moi hena osen hen, kathos hemes.
All right.
And I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I am coming towards you. Holy Father, keep them in your name whom you have given me to me, in order that they should be one, just as we.
Okay. It's beautiful.
Yes,
I don't think it's in English like this.
Yes, very good indeed. That was what, 11, Ruth?
Yes.
All right. Tedeson, of course, is aorist and buried with Tedeo. All right. They may be one. Of course, the modernists take off on this. Let's have unity, ecumenicity, and so on. But this unity is unity of doctrine, I believe, unity of the Spirit of God, being saved.
Unity in spirit.
In spirit, yes. All right. Bill, we must hasten on. Go right ahead with 12, please.
John 17:12. Ota amen met auton ento cosmo, ego eterun autus ento anomati su, hus dedocas moi ephylaxa, kai udes ex auton apoleto, e me hochios des apoleas, hena he graphe, pleurothe.
All right.
Phylaxa, what is that?
To guard. Phylaxa.
Phylloxera.
Phylasso.
We know in Europe the phylloxera is a kind of bug which destroys the vineyards.
Uh-huh. All right, Bill, go ahead. And
while I was with them in the world, I...
Here again, phylasso, is it?
No.
So where are we here, 12? Oh, at Tereo, yes. I kept to keep to guard.
I kept them in thy name.
See, when the Lord prayed, keep them in thy name. See, the keeping power, that's eternal life. That's eternal security, is it not? Go ahead, Bill. Pardon the interruption. Let's see, which ones now? Is 13 are we or 12? Who's the whom? Is it whom?
Okay, whom?
Those whom you see. Thou gavest me, you gave to me. Phylaxa, rather.
Whom you gave.
I what? From Phylaxo.
I keep.
I kept. See, that's the heirs of Phylaxo. Mm-hmm.
And none.
Apollo perished.
Okay, and none perished out of them. The son.
Yeah, none of them perished or fell away, except Amy.
Except the son of perdition.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Greek, so.
Yes, the perdition, and it's a play on word, isn't it? None perished except the son of perishing. Mm-hmm. Apollo, Apollita. See, it's a Apollos. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That the scriptures.
Scripture singular.
Scripture might be fulfilled.
Might be fulfilled. That's the aorist of passive, subjunctive of plero, isn't it? And apoleto, the aorist middle of apolumi. And phylaxa, the aorist of phylaxa. So the scripture may be fulfilled. Nobody he lost except that one that had been given. All right. Any other comment or question on that? Ruth, take the next, please.
John 17:13. Nunde prose erchomai, kai tota lalo ento cosmo, hena echosi ten charan ten emein, epleromene en autois.
But now I am coming towards you, and I'm speaking these things in the world in order that they should have my joy fulfilled in them. Isn't that perfect, having been fulfilled?
Completely fulfilled and having been in the past, and the fulfillment continues right into the present. It's the pregnant use of the perfect tense, the past, complete, but the continuation into the present. See, that's the idea of the perfect, that present tense of the perfect.
Is that participle?
Yes, it is. Peplerōmene, perfect passive participle. Peplerōmene, perfect passive of plero. And laleo, of course, to say, to speak, is present. All right, present indicative. So, completely fulfilled, my joy. That's what he wants, having been fulfilled in us and continued. His joy is very important. Talked about that before. In me you have joy, in the world you have tribulation. But the trouble is, where is the joy of the believers today? See, that's another thing you wonder about, Ruth, sometimes. Not only the sinning less, but the joylessness. Okay, go ahead then, Bill.
John 17:14. Ego dedoka autois ton logon su. Kai hokosmos emisesen autus. Harte uk esen ek tu kosmo. Kathos ego uke me ek tu kosmo.
All right.
I gave them thy word, and the world hated them.
Right. So true today, isn't it?
Because they are out.
Are not.
They are not of the world. Even. Probably even as
even,
I am.
Even
not,
as I am not. Not even as or just as I am not of the world. Yes, that's another thing. Maybe they hated them. So many times it's not true either. There are Christians today with all of their compromise and the similarity of the world, there's not that hatred too much. You know, it should be that there ought to be something. As some have said, if we were accused of being a Christian, would we have enough evidence lying around that we would be found guilty? It's good to try us and to successfully prosecute that case. And many times the hatred of the world, why they love the compromising Christian, because he's just one of them. He's like Peter warming his hand, you know, the same. Looking the same, acting the same, talking the same, some cases sinning the same, drinking the same, smoking the same, swearing the same, and some instances. I mean, it's a sad thing, isn't it? Really, you think of it, is that Christianity? That's the question, isn't it? It doesn't sound like first century Christianity, because this is what he's talking about. They're going to hate, the world's going to hate them, see? Has it hated me? And so on. All right, go right ahead then, Ruth, with the next one. Is it Ruth or Phil?
John 17:15. Uk eroto, kena ales. Autus ectu cosmo, al hinateres autus ectu poneru.
All right.
I am not asking that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the evil.
All right. Not to take them, ares, aorist subjunctive from aero, but tereses, keep them, aorist subjunctive, tereo. Keep them and guard them and hold them from evil. That's what he wants more than anything, to protect us from the evil that's in the world. All right, we must be separatists in as much as we can from evil companions, evil works, evil sinful habits, etc. But we can't be separated completely from the world, just guarded from the evil that's in the world. We cannot go out of the world. That's right. That's right. All right, next verse then, Bill.
John 17:16. Ectu cosmo uc esi, kathos ego ectu cosmo uc emi. John.
All right.
They are not out of the world or of the world, even as I am not out of the world.
All right. That's not our source, or the world is not our source. We're born of God. We're God's children. And so on. All right, Ruth.
John 17:17. Hagiason autus ente aletheia su, hau logos hau sos aletheia esti.
Sanctify them in your truth. The word that is yours is truth.
All right, hagiason, here is imperative, hagiadzo, sanctify, separate them, set them apart by thy word, by thy truth. That's the thing that will set us apart and clean us up. If we are in the word and the word is in us, we're going to be different, and we're going to be sinning less, Ruth, I think.
We'll also be knowing more about our own sin.
Knowing more about our own sin. We're going to have, that's right, a lot more to work with, work against, more of a tender conscience about sin. You're right. All right, we're ahead then, Bill.
John 17:18.
If it's Bill, is it Ruth?
Mm-hmm.
Bill, okay.
Kathos eme apestelas eston kosmon, kago apestela autus es ton kosmon.
All right.
Just as you have sent me into the world, I send them into the world.
All right, I sent them an aorist, both times, apestela, aorist of apostello, and also the other apestelas and apestela. All right, I sent them into the world. So the same mission, the Father sent the Son on a mission, the Son is sending us, the believers, and, of course, the disciple on a mission. All right, Ruth, 19, please.
John 17:19. Kai huper auton ego hagiazo hemauton. Enakai autoi osin hegias menoi en aletheia.
John.
And on behalf of them I sanctify myself in order that they also should be sanctified ones in truth.
That's right. Those who are sanctified in truth. 19. Hagiazo, present of Hagiazo, and then Hegias Menoi, perfect passive participle of Hagiazo. So in other words, those who have been sanctified, right? Those who have been sanctified, set apart. Of course, the root word of Hagiazo is to set apart, is to separate unto God and from sin. All right, next verse, Bill.
17:20. Tuton de eroto mono, ala kai periton
John. All right.
But I pray not only concerning these, but even concerning the ones believing through, the ones believing in me through your word.
Through their word. Mm-hmm.
Through their word.
Okay. One's believing would be the participle and the pistola. All right. Not just these, but those who will believe because of their faithful preaching. Mm-hmm. And we have eventually believed because one has told the other, right down, passing it down through the word of God. Mm-hmm. All right, Ruth, a long one.
17:21. Helapantes hen osi, kathos su pater enemoi kago ensoi. Henakai autoi, en hemin, ken osin, henohokosmos, pistelse, hotisu, me apestelas.
All right.
In order that they should all be one, just as you, Father, in me, and I in you, in order that they also should be one in us, in order that the world should believe that you sent me.
All right. The unity there, oneness, and certainly can't cast off all doctrine, and ecumenicity cannot be the thing he has in mind because there's no unity in disunity, certainly in discord, but spiritual unity, yes. All right, finally, Bill, 22.
John 17:22. Kai ego tein doxon, hein dedokas moi, dedoka autois, kena osin hen. Kathos,
hemes,
ken, esmen.
All right.
And I gave the glory.
Which thou gavest me, thou hast given me. And I, the glory which thou gavest me, then dedoka autois.
I gave them.
See, I gave them. The glory which thou gavest me, I gave to them.
In order that we might be one.
In order that they might be one.
They might be one.
Mm-hmm. 22.
Or even as we
are one.
Because we are one. All right, All right, so the unity again, as the Father is one with the Son, so that they might be one. Any other comments, questions on these verses there? All right, that winds up our Gospel of John for tonight. Let's take a quick look then at Dana and Maddie tonight, pages 252 to 261. We're still talking about these conjunctions on page 252. We took those up last week, starting on page 239. We come to hoti. Right, this conjunction is the neuter indefinite relative pronoun ha plus t. It's the ha t, that which, and then this or what. It's first use, the most common use, the causal part. I mean, because of or for. That's first use. Every man comes after me comes a man who existed before me, and this is before, because he was before me. In other words, hati, because, causal. The second use, though, is common as a conjunction introducing an objective clause after verb to knowing, saying, seeing, feeling. I verily have said to you that all things. In other words, you don't translate it. Just I say all things should be forgiven you. I say that. It's after these special verbs. The third use, with direct discourse, just as A, with the direct question, hati does not need translation. It's practically equivalent to our quotation marks. We've seen this many times, have we not? And then I will confess unto you, hati, that I never knew you. See, and you don't translate the hati. It's just, quote, I never knew you. The fourth one, Professor Milligan, of Moulton and Milligan's lexicon, same Milligan, calls attention to two unusual uses of hati. Mark 9, 11, and 28, the Authorized Version rightly makes hati equal to t, or why, and this is an indirect interrogation, why, and then host hati, taken by Blass as the equivalent of a genitive absolute, and of late date often means merely that, instead of a host hati, instead of because. So these are a couple extra ones here thrown in. But those four basic uses, three, the main ones, and then the extra one, hati. Any questions or comments on the because? All right, un is the next conjunction. A lot of inferential, logical meanings. Most grammarians, except Robertson, have included this, that's the only thing it has, but there are new meanings that have been listed. So we have a total here of five that are given, A, B, C, D, and E, or A, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This word, of course, in the first place, page 253, occurs 496 times. In the Westcott and Hort text, notice the text they use there, which we're using the text receptus. It should be translated as inferential only about 200 times out of 496 by such words as therefore, so, consequently, then, and so on. So when un is inferential, that inference is usually therefore, consequently, then, and so on. The second use, un should be translated as then and now, about 170 times. Then and now, for instance, I sent you two letters, one by Didymus and one by Cronius, the sword bearer. This is in some papyri there. And this is where Milligan, Moulton and Milligan's Greek papyri lexicon is helpful. Some of these areas that show how the classical Greek is used, but just the word now, in other words, or then, top of page 254, for instance, in Acts 1:18, now, so John had not been set into prison, now there was a controversy. This is in John 3:24. So just a simple now is the second thing. And then Ananias sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest, you see, in John 18:23-24. So now or then is a second, not only inferential, meaning therefore, so, consequently, then. The third use, Hartung in his Lehr von den Partikeln Griechischen, whatever that is, Sprache, the German, has a classification for un in some of its uses that he terms responsive. He gives some examples to show that this is true. Exodus 8:10, a good example, Haute apen es aurion, apen un. There's the word un. He said, tomorrow, in reply, he said, as you have spoken, the responsive, see, more or less, un. Therefore, in reply, he said. The New Testament un should be translated responsive about 30 times, usually in John's Gospel. For instance, in reply or response, John 4, 8, and 9, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." In response, the Samaritan woman said, see, this would be an un, therefore, but we could translate it as response. In answer to that, she said, this is just what they're saying here. And then the fourth use on top of 255, an extensive and convincing evidence in the papyri and the New Testament un was used as emphatic or intensive particle. Intensive in the way they're translating some things. But sure that you do not do otherwise, may un Allah, but be sure that you don't do anything. There was the emphatic and intensive sense of that. There's some other examples from the papyri that are the same. Then the middle of 255, PHS, I guess that's Philippians, I suppose, I don't know, 3:8, funny abbreviation, Philippians. We have Allah men un gekai, and in 1 Corinthians 6:7, Ede men un holos. So a lot of particles, certainly for emphasis. John 20:30, that's an example that's in our Gospel, John. To be sure, Jesus also performed many other signs. So to be sure, in other words, the un could be there also. Translated, to be sure, surely, by all means, indeed, very, really, above all, certainly, and in fact. So that's the sense there of the emphatic or intensive use of un. And then they think that's about 65 places in the New Testament that would have that. Then the fifth and final usage, un may be translated as an adversative. In other words, like a but, an Allah, or a debt. A however, you see, un, these things and so on. The example that we might quote there from the New Testament, Acts 25, 22, the bottom of page 256, Acts 25, 22, for this cause the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. However, un, having obtained help from God, I stand even to this day witnessing. So that, but, however, that adversative, however, and so John 8, 38, top of page 258, what have I seen with the Father I speak? However, do you also do that which you've heard from your Father? However, the un, in that sense. Are there any comments on those five uses there of the un that he goes into there? That's a lot of use, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Notice the chart on page 257. Some conjunctions classified with some of the meanings indicated. We're going on to the particles here, just one or two pages more. But notice there are 24 conjunctions on the left that are listed. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 divisions or classifications. Notice the temporal conjunctions. Until is what? Acri is an acri, and when is epe, and also when is epede, another when, hotte, before, plin. When or as is hos. And then the causal now, gar is for, because is diati, since is epe, since is epede, in a causal sense, because is hotte, see, and then hos is also since. Purpose conjunctions, in order that is henna, in order that also is hapos, and in order that is hos. So we got these different types of purpose conjunctions. Result, henna, so that, and that's the only one, plus the bottom one, hoste, so that. Those are the result, possible result. The inferential, the ara is therefore, dia is wherefore, and un is therefore, and what's this, toinun, I guess that is therefore, and then hoste could be therefore. So there are a lot of therefores, aren't there? A lot of inferentials. Then the conditional ones, e'an is if, a is if, epe, epe rather, is otherwise. So those three. The continuative, de is and now, hina is that, kai is and, hoti is that, and un is then or now, and then te is also and. And then the adversative, Allah is however, de is but, kai could be but also, mentoi is however, un could be however, and plain nevertheless. So a lot of those. And explanatory, gar is now, de is now, and un is now, explanatory. Then emphatic, certainly is Allah, really is ara, indeed is de, ever is an, and even is kai, indeed is mentoi, and really is un. So you see that all these different facets of understanding of these conjunctions, that's an interesting chart. Any comments on it or questions? All right, we come to the particles, which are the odds and ends of speech, the nuts and bolts, the odds and ends of Greek grammar you mentioned there, and that's, of course, a good thing. It's a small part. Particle means a small part in Latin. And these are, in contrast to the prepositions or the conjunctions, really they could be classified as one or the other, but they're called particles. They lurk, in them lurk hidden meanings, the delicate shades of thought. I like that, that intensify and clarify the thought of the sentence. So if we know these particles as well as the conjunctions, study them over carefully and in depth, we'll understand better what the Lord is saying to us. The emphatic particles, first of all, are intensive particles. And then after that, on page 263, we'll take up the negative particles. First, the emphatic or intensive ones, taking amen is first. It's a transliteration of the Hebrew verbal adjective amen. Amen, 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 it is, I guess, amen, to be firm, and is rendered alethenos, true, and alethos in Jeremiah and Isaiah. So that's solemnly significant statements of our Lord, in the sense of truly, or verily, see, amen, to be firm. In fact, amen in Hebrew means to believe. I believe, therefore I'm firm in it. I believe it strongly, therefore I'm firmly accepting it. So that's what that amen would mean. Secondly, is on, no English word corresponding to on, but usually occurs with a-on more often, similar in spellings, except one has the e before, top of page 260, the if clauses and so on. But notice the first of the two meanings of on. Number one, in most occurrences, our word ever suggests the force of on. For instance, hotan, epedan, whenever, hapu e-on, wherever, hos-on, whoever, you see, these are the ever, sort of E-V-E-R is the best translation I know of on. On, upon whom, whomever I place my hands. And then the second meaning, since on implies vagueness and uncertainty, is very fitting that it should be used with the subjunctive and optative moods, which affirm things with varying degrees of uncertainty. So this is the doubtful thing. So optative and subjunctive use on. And then the geth. It's emphasized usually the word with which it is used. May be translated at least, or indeed, even, in fact. Romans 8:32, hos ge tun idion kai ephesata. Who in fact, hos ge, who in fact, who really, who indeed, did not spare his own son, delivered him up for us all. How shall not with him also freely give us all things? Dr. Louis Frey Schaefer used to illustrate that as he taught us in theology class in evangelism class, whatever it was. He said, if a jeweler has given you a precious stone and a gem of great value, would he not give you a little brown paper to wrap it in? And so if God has given you all things, what is that verse? How shall not with him freely give you all things? In other words, if he has given you eternal life and salvation, giving his son to die for you on the cross, how shall he not with you, he being now at the Father's right hand, freely give you all things in addition and everything to go with it, the little brown paper to wrap it in. So this is Dr. Schaefer's colorful way of illustrating it. So ye shall know them by their fruits, and it means indeed, Matthew 7:20, strong emphasis when it's used with Allah. For instance, yea, even if it's Allah is there. We'll stop with that and start up with 261 at the top. Then next, any comments or questions you have on any of these little particles, the odds and ends of Greek. All right, well, one of you please close in a word of prayer. The Lord will lead you. We will be dismissed after that.
Father, we thank you for this day for the opportunity to come tonight and study your word, especially this language, Lord. We thank you for the many truths that were brought out tonight, especially, Lord, the idea that we need not serve sin, Lord, that you've taken care of that, that we not don't have to serve that as our master, but now we serve you. And I pray, Lord, that the goal before us, that we be perfect as you are, might be continually before us, Lord, and we might strive not to sin. And though we know, Lord, that when we do, that we have an advocate before the Father, and that we can be forgiven of our sins. And Father, we just thank you for Dr. Waite and his time and patience with us. And Father, I pray that you give us understanding of these things that we study and help us to make application to our lives. There might be better servants for you. Just help us to be faithful in all these things. In Jesus' name. Amen.
By the way, before we close, I'd just like to say that we had an interesting letter the other day with somebody from Philadelphia who's interested not only in our home Bible study class, but also in the Bible Institute. Now, I told them that they're just having a second year Greek, but they're interested. And then another thing, we got a letter a while back, I guess last week or 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe, about that pastor over there, Independent Baptist Church, where is it? In Pennsylvania, somewhere, Levittown or that area. He was interested in our Bible Institute and Bible Seminary and so on. He's interested, he's got one in his church, and he wondered if we could somehow join forces. You know, and I wrote him at length there. I said, I think it'd be a great idea. He feels a Bible Institute is a needful thing. He wanted himself to a Bible Institute. You know, not necessarily a seminary. Of course, the one you're going to is a seminary level, but something where people could come and learn the Word of God and be good Christian evangelists and whatever all throughout where they're. So it's interesting. So who knows what may come up. Well, keep up the good work, and we'll see you next week.